Week four of One Third Unknown, our study on the Holy Spirit. My goal in this is to introduce you to the Holy Spirit and let you know that He is someone that we need in our lives. In fact, if you're born again, He is in your life. And a lot of times people have not been taught about the Holy Spirit, been taught wrong things about the Holy Spirit. He's been depersonalized, that He is an it or a force or something like that. But really, He's God. He's just as much God as Father is God and Jesus is God. And say, well, what's the Holy Spirit like? He's like Jesus. He's no different. It's of the same personality, the same mindset. And so people have either not been taught, people have neglected the Holy Spirit, or they have taken it and they've gone to extremes with it. I think that the Holy Spirit, the teaching on the Holy Spirit, that He can be your friend in your everyday life. He can guide you and lead you in your everyday life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says, are the sons of God. So it should not be anything unusual for us to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so we're approaching this subject in a very practical way. I'm going to be dealing on Tuesday nights, beginning the April the 8th, on the miraculous part of the Holy Spirit. And the reason that I'm doing it in a smaller group is so that you can ask questions. There's a lot of times that I say things and people misunderstand what I say. I do not want to be misunderstood where this is concerned. So I want to be able to teach it and then open it up and let you ask questions. And we will deal with it over a several week period and talking about the miraculous part of the Holy Spirit. I do not believe that when the last apostle died, that the miraculous passed away. That is just not true. The Word does not teach that, neither does church history bear that out. We should expect miraculous things to happen today. Okay, so you have either, the way that you've been raised, if you've not been raised in church, you may have never heard of the Holy Spirit. If you've raised in church, you might have been raised in a church kind of like me, where He was only mentioned in the creeds that we recited. Or if you were raised in a Pentecostal, charismatic, you may be quite familiar with the Holy Spirit. But I guarantee you, no matter where you are, you have not comprehended everything you need to know about the Holy Spirit. We should continue to grow in our knowledge and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He wants to be with you and guide you in every area of your life. Because the Bible tells us if we'll walk in the Spirit, will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you're walking in the lust of the flesh, guess what you're not walking in? You're not walking in the Spirit. It's just kind of that simple. So we're looking at the symbols of the Holy Spirit. And last week, let me give you the six that we're talking about. We're talking about, first of all, was wind, water, fire, oil, wine, and a dove. And those are the things that we're going to be talking about. Last week we talked about wind. We talked about, you know, the differences in the kind of wind that we deal with. We think about hurricanes and we think about tornadoes and we think about something that's mighty. And the Holy Spirit is mighty. And there are times in the Bible that He appeared that way. On the day of Pentecost, it says there was a rushing mighty wind that filled the place. There was another instance where Paul and Silas were in prison, and the prison was shaken by an earthquake, and the doors popped open, and all the chains fell off. Well, that wasn't just an earthquake. That was something of the Spirit of God. That was a mighty move of the Spirit of God. And if we're not careful, those of us who have been around the Holy Spirit for years, those are the things that we look for, and we miss something that He does more often than He does the mighty, and that's the cool breeze. That's the cool breeze. And you know, I have been in great moves of God. I've seen God move. I've seen God heal. I've seen God come into a place. And you can tell by the atmosphere that he's there. And good and great things happen in those atmospheres. And we say, oh, we just need that all the time. No, we don't. No, we don't. Because that's only one aspect of the wind. There is the cool breeze. There's the cool breeze that refreshes. And let me tell you, more than not, that's the greatest way that the Holy Spirit will move in your daily life. Yes, we need the strong times. But listen, if all you're looking for is the strong time, you'll miss the cool breezes. And he wants you to be involved with the cool breezes. That's your daily walk. That's your daily communion with God through the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to talk about water. When we think about water, we think about something that is very vital to life. How many of you drink 8 glasses of water? I'm not talking about Coke and Pepsi and coffee. How many of you drink 8 glasses of water a day? How many of you do not drink 8 glasses of water a day? I don't. I need to drink more. Why water? Because it's something that we have to have. You know, you can't live very long without breath, without oxygen. You can only live a few days without water because it is the life-giving force of nature. It's something that God has designed to do certain things for us. And, you know, over 70% of your body is water. And if we drained all of the water out of you, you'd be 75% smaller than you are. But you wouldn't be alive. You're mostly water. Did you know that? You're mostly water. And we don't think about that. You know, our brains is mostly water. We're made up of liquid. And it's the life-giving. And if you think about dehydration, I'm not a doctor or medical, but I know that, you know, dehydration is where your water levels go down. And in extreme cases of dehydration, people have died. Why? Because we have to have water to live. Our earth is somewhere between 70 and 75% water. We think of, you know, that the land is huge. No, there's more water. There's 75% of our earth is water. It's water. And our atmosphere is like a terrarium. And what happens is through the process of condensation and evaporation, that this water cycle has kept alive. And I read something that I didn't realize the other day, that there's really not any new elements that are being produced. In fact, the water that we have now has been around for thousands of years. It just keeps being recycled. Atmosphere to the ground, it soaks into the ground, we draw it out of the ground. So it's a recycling. So water is such a vital part of what we need to sustain life. And it is an excellent symbol of the Holy Spirit, because our spiritual lives, we cannot thrive in our spiritual lives without the Holy Spirit. Without water. We have to have the water of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at some scripture today. And there's several ways that we encounter water. The first one that it talks about, and it uses this as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and it's rivers. In John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus said, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirst,'" how do we know we need water? We thirst. "Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So the first symbol here is rivers. Rivers. And Jesus says that as we are thirsty. Now, we understand physical thirst. But let me tell you something. You're more than a physical being. You're a mental being. and you're a spiritual being. And something happened in Adam in the Garden of Eden when he fell. His spirit, which was designed by God for God, was separated from God. So there was a something missing in his spirit. There was a vacuum there that only God could fill. And he would never be truly satisfied until he was reunited with God. And that's a picture of what thirst is all about. See, there are people out there that are thirsty, but they don't know what they're thirsty for. They're trying to fill it with all kinds of things. And you know, they're out there thinking, if I could just make more money, then I'll be happy. They make more money, guess what? They're not any happier. Oh, if I could just marry this person, I would be happy. And they marry that person, and guess what? It doesn't. They might be happier. I don't want to get in the doghouse here. They might be happier, but it doesn't meet the spiritual need in their life. And then we try to satisfy it with stuff and you know, different things of the flesh, and it just doesn't satisfy. Why is that? Because there's a thirst on the inside of all of us that we're looking for something that has reality about it. And Jesus talked about that thirst. He says, you know what? Come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. And says, if you do, out of your heart, out of your inner being, will flow rivers of living water. Now, I like to be around living water, don't you? What's living water? It's water that flows. It's water that flows. I've been around stagnated ponds that, you know, that have scum and scallywags in it and all kinds of stuff. That's not too cool. But when you're around a place where the water is lively and living, and it's just a wonderful thing. And Jesus likened the Holy Spirit to rivers of living water that flow out of our inner being. Now, why do they flow out? Why do they flow out? Because we're supposed to influence other people. Now, a lot of people get caught up in religion. And that's what they preach, is religion. You can hear them. There's no life in it. But when you find, all of us have been around religious people. They're all about the do's and the don'ts. They're all about the rules. They're all about this. And hey, we do need do's and don'ts and rules, okay? You're not gonna live very successful without morals. You're not gonna live very successful without guidelines. But they make everything about God, about keeping rules. And the Old Testament was full of that, and Jesus addressed that. He says, listen, there's a thirst on the inside of you that keeping rules won't satisfy. It can only be satisfied as you partake of me. And when you partake of me, it says, when you do that, it will not only satisfy your thirst, but out of your heart will flow rivers of water. And you'll begin to influence people around you. Have you ever been around somebody that was truly Christ-like? That really, I mean, they're just a joy to be around. See, Jesus was a joy to be around, except for the religious folks. But he was a joy. Sinners loved Jesus. They did. There was something about him that intrigued their heart. He offered them something that was real. And we need to be able to offer the world something that's real. Not just religion. We need to be able to offer them relationship with God. So this is kind of what the rivers is talking about. The second thing that it talks about in Scripture is a flood. Sometimes floods are necessary. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. So this describes a situation where there is major parched ground. And then there are the rains that come down in such abundance that it brings flooding, but it corrects a situation that is needed. Listen, you know, the church world in America is pretty dry. The church world in America needs a flood of the Holy Spirit. And so there are times that the Holy Spirit will bring a flood. We might call these revivals or moves of God. And we can look back through church history and see times where God brought something. He was trying to restore something to the church, and he brought revival, and there was a flood of the Holy Spirit, and he was reestablishing something in his church. But you know what? You can't live in floods all the time. See, we need the rivers and we need the floods. We need it all. Oh yeah. Oh, I remember when. I remember back in 1900. I don't remember 1900, okay? I do remember 1971 when I made Jesus Christ Lord of my life. I remember 1972 when I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that was real. I can remember several times in my life where I had encounters with the Holy Spirit that were real. And we're always talking about what God did. Listen, we don't just need to live off of what God did. What is he doing? That's what we need. That's what we need to hook into. What is he doing now? Don't try to compare it to something that happened back then. Let's find out what he's doing now. And let's get involved in that. The third thing that it talks about is rain. So the first thing we saw was rivers and then floods and then rain. It's all connected together. Psalms 72 verse 6, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. We need rain. There are times in our life that the Holy Spirit brings rain, not flood, rain. So every need is met this way. Here's the next one. I love this one. This is springs. John chapter 4 verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Now notice what it says, that it'll be in you, it will spring up, and it will be going towards eternal life. That's what we should be producing, life. Everywhere we go, we should be life-giving. This is the term that we use in our church here. What kind of church are you? We are a life-giving church. We're not Baptist, we're not Methodist, we're not Pentecostal. I don't like names and titles. We're a diverse group. We're kind of like the puppy dog. You know, we're not boxers, and or we're not shepherds, or we're not. We're kind of Heinz 57. We're a mixture, aren't we? And you know, some people say, "Well, you know, you got to be something." Well, you know, when you define yourself just as something, that always excludes somebody. And I tell people, you can be Catholic and come here. You can be Baptist. You can be a heathen and come here. You can be an atheist and come here. I don't believe you'll be one long. You can be Pentecostal. You can be Methodist. You can be nothing. You can be just outright heathen. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that it describes a name other than Church of God. You know, we're the church. So you can be, you know, this is what I love, that we can be life-giving. And you can discover your faith. And listen, you say, well, I found my faith. Well, you found part of your faith. See, we never need to be in a place that we're not in discovery mode. Because I guarantee you, you're not as smart as you think you are. Now let me give you another little revelation. You're not as dumb as you think you are either. But you're not as smart as you might think that you are. There's still many things that we can discover about our faith. And it's not just knowledge, okay? It's knowledge that we experience. And when you experience, and this is what I love about life-giving churches is that we want you to experience things in God. We want you to experience new birth. We want you to experience an encounter with God and grow in your faith, grow in your knowledge, but grow in your experience also. It's life-giving. And that's what springs do. Every time I see this, I think about being in Israel. And what, the day that we went to Bannis. And Bannis is where the springs are. In fact, it was gorgeous. Israel was starting to get hot that time of year. It was kind of humid. And as we went down into Bannis and we went down into this valley, and this is where the headwaters of the Jordan River were. As we went down in there, and there's a waterfall down there, and you could, there was such life there. There was vegetation. There was flowers. Kathy just went crazy taking pictures of all kinds of flowers. And we got down there and we stood and looked at this waterfall and the mist off of that waterfall. Oh, it was so good. But that was the beginning of the Jordan River. And it flowed out of there and it flowed into to two bodies of water. It flowed into the Sea of Galilee, which is the largest freshwater lake in Israel. And it's life-giving, gorgeous, beautiful. Then it flows out of there and it flows down to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has an inlet, but it doesn't have an outlet. And that tells us something about the Holy Spirit. Because when He says He wants to be in you and flow out of you. Now, there's a lot of people that wants everything that God has for them, but they don't want it to, they want to keep it inside of them and not let it flow out. And the Dead Sea has no life. It has life flowing water into it, but because it has no outlet, there's no fish in there. There's no animal life at all in there. All it is mud that's rich in salt, and it looks awful. Looks like tar. But there's no life there. And you kind of can see a picture of you know, of people who want to receive everything God has, but they don't want to give it out. They want to be a reservoir, but they don't want to be a spring. God wants us to be spring, because when we're that way, you know what we do? We enhance everything around us. There's life around us. There's beauty around us. There's refreshing around us. And people like to be around us because we're life-giving. Amen. Then the last one that we want to talk about is do. Now, let's look at the extreme. Flood, do. Okay? Hosea chapter 14, verse 5 says, I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. What does do do? You got to be careful. Don't talk too fast there. Do causes growth. We don't pay a lot of attention to do. Now, I got out this morning and turned my wipers on and the dew had frozen. Okay? But we don't think a lot about dew. Now, golfers do. They get out there in the morning and they hit that golf ball and it's rolling down through that grass and there's that spray, that we call it rooster tail, coming off of the back of that golf ball. Or you're out there trying to mow early in the morning when the dew is on the ground and it clogs up your mower. But what does dew do? It refreshes. Now, there's nothing mighty about dew, but it's powerful. It refreshes and causes growth. And if we're always looking for the flood, we'll miss the dew. And see, what we need to do, we need to be open to all of it. We need to be open for the spectrum. See, we need to be able to look at God and say, God, however you want to move in my life, that's what I want you to do. I want the dew from heaven. I want the rain. I want the flood. I want the rivers and the springs. I want to be open to you because I want to be like you. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He comes in us to make us like Jesus. Now, next week we're going to get into the fire, and then we're going to get into the oil, and we're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does on us. But let the dew of heaven fall on you. Let the floods of heaven flood your soul. You know, what it does, it quenches the thirst that's in all of us. You know what? If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Lord, you know what you are? You're thirsty. You may not know what you thirsted for, but it's Him that you've thirsted for. And you can come today and you can drink of Jesus. And you know what He'll do? He'll satisfy the thirst of your heart. You may be here and you've been away from Christ, and your life has been parched. You know what can happen today? You can come and the rain of the Spirit can restore you, can restore your thirsty heart, and He can meet your need. You may be here and have all kinds of need, but we want to have a time that we can come together and we can pray. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come, our praise team to come. Now, they're here not to counsel. They're here to pray. That's what we're here for. Prayer team, we're not here to counsel. We're here to pray. We want to encounter God here today. I want to pray for you. And if the Lord's tugging on your heart about something and you want to come, we don't force you to come up here. We're not going to drag you kicking and screaming. But you just respond to the Holy Spirit. And if He wants you to come, you come. If you can pray for it back there and get the need met, do it. If you need assistance, we got all kinds of assistance up here today. But as we pray, you respond to the Lord. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? See, He's talking to you. What is it that you need today? He's here to meet that need. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the flood of the Holy Spirit, the rivers, the springs, the dew. Thank you for it all, Lord. We just open our hearts and we say, Lord, today, fill us with your presence. Holy Spirit, we want to be friends with you. You want to be our friend, but we want to open our lives to you and be your friend today too. We thank you in Jesus' name.